Hey, everybody, it's Jay Light, me doing the podcast. I've got some big just woke up in Edinburgh, Scotland energy. Can you tell? This episode is one I'm very excited to share with you guys. We got my new friend, Ali Woods, a wonderful comic based here in the UK, talking about Toy Story 4. This is a real doozy of an episode. We get into the corporatism behind Disney and why the Toy Story 4 to Ali felt like it ruined the trilogy, and it's a good episode. So hope you enjoy it. Now, of course, a little housekeeping beforehand. If you are a fan of the show, please click the link to join the Blockbusting Facebook group right at the top of the show notes. And if you want to come see me record my album, my debut album, which I've been working on hard for you guys over here in Scotland, then you can click the link in the show notes for that too, because I'm recording it in Los Angeles at the Pack Theater, August 31st, 7:30 p.m. I'll have some great support from some fans, some friends, Ian Zandi, Nicole Buchanan, and Stephen Randolph, who have all been on this podcast, coincidentally. Look at that. It's great, going to be a great show. Looking forward to seeing you guys there. And I'm really looking forward to sharing this episode with you guys. So please enjoy Ali Woods. Oh, let me tell you something. Boston makes me feel good. Oh, wait. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, Ali Woods.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to hating on some movies.
This is very exciting. My second Edinburgh Fringe international guest.
Wow.
This is very fun.
That's I don't often get called international, especially in Scotland, as a ginger. But but thank you very much.
I'm happy I can bring that to you today. Yeah, man. I'm happy I can change it up a bit.
Your first one you said was Daniel Muggleton from Australia, literally the other side of the world.
Right.
And here I am, local boy for Scotland.
Yeah, I got to get some new reps home.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. But you might need to change the color filters on your camera to get my paleness in there, but that'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll have to adjust the white balance. We'll figure out how to color correct it, right?
Yeah. It's a tricky sentence saying, let's adjust the white balance, isn't it? That's you have to specifically talking about footage and cameras.
Right, yeah.
Don't let anyone cut that out of context of this podcast, Jay.
Of course not. Listen, I keep a very strong hand over all of my editing.
Yeah.
I won't allow anyone else to mess with my white balance. Well, this is speaking of movie terms and controversial opinions. You got a real. This is a real interesting pick you came in with today.
Yeah,
you don't. You want to talk about hating Toy Story 4?
Mm.
What? Who hurt you?
This is all. This is all, Jay. Contextual, right?
Okay,
you gotta understand. So I'm 25. I was born in 1993. Toy Story 1 came out in 1995.
Yes.
So it was my first movie I ever saw in cinema. That was the first one.
Wow.
And I was known when I was growing up. I don't know if you read Roald Dahl, Charlie and Chocolate Factory, but I was known as Mike TV growing up. Because I sit in front of the box, just watch it all day long.
Did you do the Mike TV like whole get up to where you're wearing cowboy stuff?
No, I wasn't organized. He was a severely organized kid, very creative child.
Oh,
he probably works in TV now, I'm sure. They all had a go at him then, but he's probably the executive. I didn't do that. I just used to sit there in whatever I was wearing and watch TV all the time. So when I went to the cinema, right, it clearly blew my little mind.
Right.
Because suddenly, how big is this TV, man? Like, I was like, this is amazing.
This is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, why don't we get one of these?
You know, it's gigantic. Let's bring one home.
So exactly, precisely, right? So I loved watching it. I love watching Toy Story. It was my first film ever. It's one of those, parents always talk about taking their kids to the film for the first time or early times, and it's all chaos and shouting, toilet breaks and all that. Apparently, I was just sitting there. I mean, I don't remember, but I was just sitting there, like glued, like eyes wide. Like, didn't blink for 2 hours sort of thing. And then they took me, and I couldn't understand why it stopped. And my mom was telling me, she was dragging me out, and I was like, almost like a scene out of sort of a NAR movie where like they were trying to take me home, and I was sort of didn't understand, and I was like lost my mind, and I was like reaching out to the screen being like, Buzz, Buzz. I was like a 2.5 year old, Buzz. That was my first movie experience. So I always feel like Toy Story has an intrinsic link with me.
Right. That and I understand that as well. I was born in 1990. Mm. Toy Story was also one of the first movies that I saw. I don't remember the actual first movie I saw in a proper cinema.
Yeah. I don't remember. I only know because my parents told me.
You had that imprinted in your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing. I remember it's a franchise we grew up with, literally.
Mm.
So it was interesting to hear that. We have very different takes on Toy Story 4.
Yeah, yeah.
So going on.
So it's all about, I mean, people listening to this for sure know Toy Story, but it's all about the young guy and his toys and mm-hmm. the toys' relationship with him growing up. Toy Story 2, fantastic film. I think that might have been the first film I ever got on VHS, maybe.
Okay.
I need to clarify that. But that, I mean, it was a great film as well. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Was that 2002, that one?
Something, yeah, I think sounds like about that. Right.
But 9 years later, and it's sort of feeling like, oh, this is the franchise for me. Mm. I remember Toy Story 3 coming out. Excited.
Right.
And obviously when franchises get to the third film, often it's starting to lag. Even The Godfather starting to lag, right?
Right. I've not seen The Godfather 3 because I've heard how bad it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's absolutely fine. So I remember reading the reviews for Toy Story 3 and I'm just seeing 5 stars. I'm seeing 4 stars. And I'm just reading about how emotional it is. And as 16, when you're 16, right?
Right.
You're emotional as a guy as well when you're told not to be emotional. You're emotional, but you're trying to keep everything on the surface. Trying to be cool. 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Keep it hidden.
I don't, you know, or whatever. Films, whatever, mate. I don't care.
You can't let that affect you.
Yeah, toys? I don't play with toys anymore.
Man, art?
Yeah.
Nah.
Things people work tirelessly for my enjoyment? Nah, I don't want to see that, mate. That's a waste of time.
Thing I used to love as a kid, but I don't think that's cool anymore.
Yeah, exactly,
no way.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Fundamental part of my formative years. Screw you, man. So I remember thinking, right, I'm getting excited for this film though.
Mm-hmm.
And going to it and thinking like, yeah, hopefully it's funny or something.
Right.
I think it's a masterpiece, right?
I
think it's just wonderful. I think it's hilarious. I think people know, I mean, if you haven't seen this, spoilers, but the scene at the end where they're going down to their doom.
Yes, in the furnace is about to happen and they all grab their hands.
Yeah, and that for me is such an original, masterful piece of storytelling because this is a world where toys come to life. It's all animated, it's glitzy. You know, these films are U's and PG's and stuff like that. I don't know what they call it in America, but they're sort of
PG, yeah.
Okay.
For scenes of peril, they have to always classify why it's a PG instead of a G.
Right.
Because that was, I think Toy Story 3 was the first one that was PG instead of G because they're like, uh-oh, we're grappling with the concept of death here. We need some parental explanation for this.
But that's in so maturely because you're expecting, and Woody reacts like he's expecting like, come on guys, we're going to get out of this eventually. And you know, they do because it's that sort of film, but it's that moment of sincerity where those characters reach out for each other's hands and think, well, look, shouldn't we be just glad that we've got each other? And you know, if we're going into the abyss, I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else.
Right.
And I lost my mind. Oh, God, playing my heartstrings. So for me, when we get to 2010, that is a perfect trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it feels like I've grown up with it because Andy gets out and Andy's... Well, what age do you go to college in America? Because he's going to college in the film. Is it 18?
18,
so 18. So he's a couple of years older, but it feels like the same. I'm 16, he's 18.
Right.
I feel like these are my toys. I used to have a Woody toy, I used to have a Buzz toy.
Oh, look at
that. Yeah, 100%. And then I was just like, this is, I can't believe this franchise has given me so much. Like, I was so grateful. I was like, unbelievable time I've had in the cinema and watching these films, and I got Toy Story 3 on Blu-ray back when that was a thing before we just had magical films on all our devices.
Just pull it all streaming, digital. Yeah.
So then a couple of years later, and it transpires as a Toy Story 4. Now,
right.
Obviously, the press releases come out that all the actors, I didn't want to do this, but then I saw the script and I couldn't say no. Yeah, all the normal trash that. Actors
all the stuff
and
press
machine get taught, you know, it's like, oh, it's a completely different story, it's a different characters, it's with the girl, now I've forgotten her name, but it's with her and her toys and things.
Oh yeah. Yeah, her, she's not even really that important.
She's not, and I never really feel that Oh, we'll get into the actual details of the film. But already I'm like, okay, this is not what I want to hear. I'm talking to my friends who've seen it growing up, and they're like, oh, can you believe it? And it, for me, is just a signpost that this is the network or the executives or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Somebody's very well media trained. Somebody in Hollywood was like, all right, yeah, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to make this another Disney classic.
Yeah. Like, this franchise will never stop. Let's get to, you know, Toy Story 6, First Blood or whatever. Yeah. So.
Toy Story 7, The Final Nightmare.
Yeah. They finally do a crossover with Chucky and Child's Play.
Toy Story 10, where they go into space and Buzz smashes somebody's after they've frozen themselves in liquid nitrogen.
Yeah. I'm sure that's been mooted in a discussion. But, and you know, so I'm keen since I watched the trailers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm keen to keep up with it. I see the reviews. They put Jamie positive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go see the film. I liked it.
Okay.
Good film.
Yeah.
It's a good film.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. And for me, it's ruined that perfection that I had of that trilogy. Now, it's that extra one. It's that additional leg to my tricycle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't want that wheel. I don't want to make it a car. I like the kids' tricycle, man. Leave me alone.
Yeah. You didn't get into this to get a car.
No, exactly. I don't want it. I thought the film was good. I liked it. It's also a weird film, right? It's also, for me, a strange film tonally.
Mm-hmm.
Because I appreciate it's quite a clever film. It's quite an interesting film.
Yeah.
For the others, it was sort of a clear narrative of like, everything's happy and something happens. And then it's about resolving that. And, you know, I think with this one, it's not clear because it's sort of unhappy at the start, Woody's not being played with.
Right.
And then he sort of gets happiness from helping her out, but then she's unhappy at nursery. But then he solves that, but then his whole thing is keeping this spork. I mean, wonderfully done by John Mulaney. I think he's a funny character.
Yeah, it was very good. Oh, no, Tony Hale was
Tony
the
Hale,
voice,
my apologies,
yes.
My apologies.
John Mulaney is the fork, though. That would have been great.
I think that would have been good.
Casting.
He was great in Into the Spider-Verse. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, even as a little cameo
as
Spider-Ham was great. That is such a great film.
What a movie.
Yeah. Did you see that thing? There was that clip of how they animated that scene when they're swinging the sort of older, fatter Spider-Man who'd studied before and the younger Spider-Man who's trying to learn. Something Morales, I've forgotten his first
Miles
name.
Miles Morales, yes.
That's it. And they animated them in different frames per second.
No.
So the older Spider-Man is on 32 frames per second, and so his is really seamless, whereas Miles Morales is 16 frames per second because they want to show that he's disjointed and he's trying to learn. And it's so hard, and as the film goes on, he becomes, so by the scene where he's fighting Kingpin, he's 32 frames per second, his moves are really smooth and seamless.
Wow.
So good. Anyway, back to shitting on this film. Toy Story 4.
So Toy Story 4, think it's just good?
So I think it's just good, and I think it's a strange, right? It's just it felt like they'd gone, as I said, I imagine there'd been a lot of money. I was positive some people going, if you can come up with another one that we can sell as like, look, to the fans, this is genuinely an interesting story, which it is.
Yeah.
Then let's make it, and we'll get the actors on board. And I hate that this magical world that I'd lived in has now sort of suddenly been tainted with this commercial aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, toys come to life. That's so cool when you're a kid, right?
Right.
That's crazy that you just have these. I remember when I was a kid, like a little Pikachu doll.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I had
stuff like that.
Yeah, like Buzz and Woody were like on the shelf. And I was like, if anyone comes in, like these toys will come to life and fuck them up. You know?
Right. And you picked some good ones. You pick Woody and Buzz, obviously. They know what they're doing. And then Pikachu. Pikachu's got lightning attacks. Perfect.
Yeah. Exactly. So that has all been tainted for me to this like, oh, no, it's still just films. It's still just Hollywood. It's still just commercial. I forgot. Oh, yeah, of course these guys, they want to make good films. But, I mean, if the price comes right. Because I would have loved it. If they would have just gone, no, sorry, man, that's we're done with Toy Story, and that's it, and that's wonderful.
Right.
We'll make Inside Out 2, sure, like why not? Pixar been doing loads of sequels, and I think there's a wider narrative around this as well about how Pixar have gone from making these incredible sort of one-off, fascinating, really mature, sincere, but kids as well for kids movies, to sort of like becoming more franchisey.
Right.
I mean, no one wanted a Cars 3.
Right, of course, no. Nobody even wanted a Cars 2.
No one wanted a Cars 2. And Cars was fine. It was decent.
It's my greatest hope that somehow Pixar does not turn into DreamWorks. That's the biggest problem with DreamWorks is the DreamWorks movies always feel it's so franchisey. You get there right off the bat.
Yeah.
It's like immediately, all right, Shrek, cool. Now we're going to do Shrek 2.
Yeah.
Let's do four Shreks. Let's do
100%.
Let's do five Ice Ages.
Yeah. Let's do the Shrek experience. I haven't seen all the. I saw the first How to Train My Dragon, but I haven't seen the other two. But apparently, that's quite good. Those films are quite consistent.
I mean, same thing about Kung Fu Panda. I saw the first one. I liked the first one, but we're what? I think three and a television series now.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch any of that extra stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up that this feels sort of like an extra appendage because the director of Toy Story 3 was very adamant about not wanting to have another film in the franchise.
Shock.
He did this interview and he said, this is right after Toy Story 3 came out, Lee Unkrich. It was really important to me with this film that we not just create another sequel, that it not just be another appendage coming off the other two. You know, there may be opportunities for Woody and Buzz in the future, but we don't have anything planned for anything right now. And so he's trying to come up with a movie for Toy Story 3 specifically that plays in a way that it seems like it can complete the thing. And it does. It completes the trilogy wonderfully.
100%.
And it
shows the cycle of how, you know, toys getting played with, and it's not just a case of you grow up and you lose your imagination.
It's like
you grow up and you give this to a new generation. And, oh, just so wonderful, man. Toy Story. Oh, my God.
But then John Lasseter comes in 2014, 4 years later.
Yep.
And they're having an investors call, and he says, hey, you know what? I'm bringing it back. I directed the first two. I want to come in and direct another one.
Yep.
It's going to be beautiful. And then...
Well, doesn't that tell you everything?
I mean, right.
4 years later, the investors, these are all...
He says it's the...
terms that worry me.
It's the passion for the project.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, mate. Right. Sure it is. Passion. Very heavy in the wallet there. I've got a lot of passion in my bank account now.
Right. It's a lot of zeros behind that passion.
I understand. It's a business. Mm-hmm. I understand it's a business. It's just like, for me, it's so sad when, like, to make a genuinely great film, is so tough,
mm-hmm.
right? On a wide scale. I mean, I think it's easy to make an independent film. There's not as much at stake,
right?
In terms of financially, to make a great popular film is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Then to follow that up with another great popular film is super hard. It's mm-hmm. even harder. Then to follow those two films up with another great popular film is incredible. And then for me, I was just like, they surely wouldn't even try. Come on, like, don't please, like, they wouldn't try to repeat the feat. And luckily they didn't, and they just put out something that was fine. It was good. So what did you think of Toy Story 4?
I really, really liked Toy Story 4. I think, for me, it's a 5-star movie.
Wow.
But here's the thing. Talking to you, I can see some of your... I completely understand... And not only just like understand, but I am starting to be a little bit more converted to your point of view, because now I'm thinking back about my experience in the movie and watching some stuff. So in the States, there's obviously Disneyland and Disney World now have Pixar themed lands.
Okay.
And it's all the theming there, specifically for the Toy Story stuff, is all carnival themed.
Yeah.
Toy Story 4 heavily takes place at a carnival.
Yep. Yep.
Oh man. Do you think they thought about that?
Yeah,
oh, what do you know?
That's fortunate.
Interesting. Huh. And there's parts of the movie that I think are very, very, very good. Mm. I really like all of the stuff, the way Woody's character evolves over the course of the movie, to having to, we've gone from Woody having to accept like physical death to now he's sort of having to accept a different, like, he's the elder statesman now. His station in life has changed, and now he isn't needed anymore. So it's a different kind of a death. That's like, you're still around, you're still there, but you don't want to be there. That's a very interesting way to develop a character. But the problem is, Woody is basically the only person, or the only character, person, toy, whatever. He's the only one who goes through any kind of intense development like that. You relegate Buzz to being just a guy who is somehow back to being as dumb as he was in the first movie.
That's another thing. I think it was like, well, we can't have it without Buzz, so let's have him part of it. And like, he's... It almost feels like what they did with Joey and Friends. I mean, Friends is great because they generally kept the characters the same, but you could tell as they were like, we need more jokes in here. Let's just make Joey dumber and dumber. Like, we need someone to, like, sort of this Steve Carell and Anchorman. It's like, if there's a pause, let's get Joey do something dumb.
Yeah.
And that'll be like a nice...
Because everybody's going to get a laugh out of that.
Exactly, yeah. And that was with Buzz, like, because he started doing that Spanish Buzz in Toy Story 3.
Right.
It was hilarious, man. It was so funny. And then it's like, oh, what else can we mess with his suit? And then just, like, press a button. And you're right. He just follows this sort of voice in his head. And it's like, no, this is now becoming ludicrous. Like, he's now becoming an idiot.
Well,
I would have, just on that point of Woody, right?
Yes.
Like Star Wars, they're doing a Star Wars story to get to squeeze more films out of this, but they're doing other things. If this was called like a Toy Story story, Woody's adventure in whatever, like if it was like a spin-off film about Woody, then I would accept it a lot more.
Toy Story presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, that's now that I would watch. Dwayne, Dwayne, the Rob Johnson and Jason Statham,
and you know,
just beating up children.
I think they could have fit in well in this movie. I mean, there's a lot of fairly action-packed sequences going
on in
here.
There's a stunt driver in it.
Yeah,
there's a legit stunt driver.
Oh, and Keanu Reeves is the stunt driver.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Fantastic.
But I did think genuinely, I thought he would be more funny. I didn't laugh too much in this one.
Yeah.
In Toy Story 3, 2, and 1, there were points where I was genuinely giggling.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one was not as funny for me, because as I said, just generally throughout the film I thought the tone was a bit odd. It was quite sinister and horrific at points with those dolls,
with the creepy dolls,
which was good, but then it would have that, and then it would have a sort of semi comic relief with Buzz, but it didn't feel like he was part of that plot really. And
right,
and I wasn't really sure what they were going for, so I found the whole thing sort of interesting. I was glad it wasn't rubbish. I didn't think it's a bad film. Hold it on its own. I think it's a good film. Don't think it's a 5-star film. My
it's
opinion,
okay. Hey,
it's a good film.
I have. What do you qualify as a 5-star film in your mind? Like, what are some of your, from this year in particular, what are some of your favorite films that you've seen?
Oh, this year. Oh, I don't know if I've seen anything that I would class in that.
What about? Okay, well then, just have
just reason
general?
From like this decade.
Okay,
I think Birdman, Whiplash.
Okay. Okay. Great choices.
Drive. Well, that one, was that 2009? 2011.
Yeah, 2011.
Drive.
Yeah.
5-star. Which is a shame because it feels like Nicholas Winding Refn is nuts.
Yeah.
And he can't. And it's just he's one of those sort of like Tarantino-esque. I think to make a film, he has to be with people who are going to indulge his every sort of decision.
Right.
And it worked with Drive. But I haven't seen it, but Only God Forgives got panned, and I haven't
right.
seen
it. Right, and
fair.
Same with Neon Demon.
The Neon Demon, which actually, to be fair, Neon Demon, I sort of enjoy it. I mean, it's bonkers. But have you seen it?
No, not yet.
But don't watch it with your parents. It's not for family viewing.
I mean, I've heard a lot about it. I've heard a lot about people eating people and eyeballs and all sorts of shit.
But those are films where I feel like there's like a real, real incredible level of detail and passion gone into the project, and also everything's strong, like the story, the editing, the acting, the look and the feel and the sound and everything. And I just think these films are incredibly impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that for me makes a 5-star film. Same with Toy Story 3. Like, it left me, it resonated with me, and I've done repeat viewings and watching those. I'm excited. I'm putting it on again. I'm excited to watch it again. Whereas Toy Story 4 was like, it's good. It's a good film. Well made.
Right.
It's fine. The voice acting is great. I mean, the voice acting is perfectly cast anyway.
Yeah.
But similarly as what we were saying about Buzz going off in this Avengers, there's no sort of group aspect. There's no communal bit. Like in Toy Story 3, when they were all together in the, whatever it was, the nursery or whatever you called it.
Oh, the preschool. Yes.
There was like characters playing off each other, whereas this felt like Woody was doing one thing with one person, then run off somewhere else.
Right.
It's like almost like a game.
Yeah, or like a sitcom where everybody sort of gets split up and they're all doing different things.
Yeah.
I would rather, now that you bring it up, I really would have rather it been, it feels like one movie, and then they're like, oh wait, we have to put all of the other characters that people actually care about in this. Yeah. Let's figure out how to tack on this subplot.
Yeah.
But the movie's Woody's movie. That's the thing.
Yep.
I think if there's a way to, like, and I know there's people out there who will do this, if someone can go out and edit the movie so that way you get rid of as much of the extraneous stuff as possible, then you focus just on Woody's story, then that is, oh, you can't, that's a really tough movie to top, because it really, it's the spinoff.
But that's what it is.
That's what
I'm so annoyed
it's
called Toy Story 4.
I know.
If they'd have called it, a Toy Story production, let's get some more money with an adventure with Woody.
Right.
I'd be like, great, this is exactly what this is, man.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
You've set up, you've laid it all out on the table. I can accept that.
Also, I feel like they did, anyway, just from a sort of like more storytelling point of view, I feel like they did the whole like, we're not needed anymore plot thoroughly with Toy Story 3.
Right.
So, and even with Toy Story 2, and Woody felt he wasn't appreciated, so he decided to go somewhere where they'd love him. Even with all that, they'd sort of done that plot of Woody feeling like, oh, I'm not needed. And then I thought maybe it would be interesting to see this sort of like sentient toy. I don't know what they're going to do with that. But that idea that, oh, you're trash, or whatever, because I'm trash. Being trash and then becoming a toy and like sort of learning that process. But that was a B plot again to sort of Woody's whole like isolation. And then it was sort of like a rescue of the trash. And I just didn't get so much of it felt like these are all interesting little bits and pieces, but I don't actually get the point you're trying to make. So Woody realizes that he's not needed. Yeah, good.
Like, it's like a midlife crisis kind of movie.
Yeah, but I feel like they did that in Toy Story 2 when he was there with going like, you know, Woody doesn't need me. He's got blah, 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 Buzz now. And
right.
Blah, 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 you know? And he was going somewhere where they loved him, and then he realized that was sinister, so he goes back. And then Toy Story 3, he thinks he's still wanted, but he's not. And then he goes somewhere where they love him, and then he realizes that's not right. So that's it. And then this is fourth one is like, he realizes he's not wanted, so he then goes somewhere where they love him, which is just the world, and that's the end of the story this time.
Yeah.
So
I think the thing that saves it for me is, and what for me makes a movie a 5-star movie is something where I feel emotionally affected, because as I get older and watch more and more movies, especially doing this podcast, I find that it's much harder for a movie to move the needle for me. As far as like going from a movie that I watch and I'm like, this is a good movie. Yeah. This is clearly a very good movie. It's, you know, it's well made. The acting is good, but sometimes it just doesn't quite go all the way for, you know? So
desensitize you. Yeah,
I'm a little desensitized to movies. Yeah. But the thing with this, it's sometimes it's just like one scene. That's all it takes.
Okay.
And for me, the thing that did that was at the very, very end when Woody finally decides to just take the leap of faith and go and be a carny toy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is out of character for Woody, and I appreciate that he's making that change.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, how much have we cared about toys over the years?
I'm so with you. I'm so with you. I care about Woody, man.
I want Woody to be okay.
Yeah.
We've known Woody for decades almost.
So, yeah, you know, well, so what, 1995, so you're 24 years, so it's coming up to this 20.
It's crazy.
He's an old toy, man.
He's very old.
There's no toys that last that long. In the wild, are you
kidding? No, absolutely.
Although he does get stitched up, he does get a little bit of stitching up in Toy Story 2.
I mean, he gives up his voice box in this one, too.
Yes.
That's
now, that was a good scene.
That is a good scene.
That is because you knew what was going to happen. It was heartbreaking, nonetheless. Mm-hmm. I don't know. These isolated scenes, I mean.
But that's the thing. It's good, like, it's pulling the isolated stuff. The isolated stuff is enough to save it for me. Like,
no, it's a good film.
But
it's a good film.
I see what you're saying.
I hate it, though. You know what I mean?
I hate it
because of what it represents to me about Hollywood and the franchise. That it is a franchise now. And it's not, I thought, because also Pixar, and it took so long to make each film.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they bang them out two or three. It's like, you know, with DreamWorks, where it's like, Shrek was great. Let's make Shrek 2. Come on,
guys.
We don't hang around. And Shrek 2 was great. And then it was like, let's make the third. And that was very average. But it was like, okay, they've really taken time.
Right,
and
you get
and
some
stuff
care
like this.
Into it,
but
yes.
To me, it stank of like meetings where it's like, is this interesting enough? Or is this going to pass as like a Toy Story 4?
Right.
And it shouldn't be. It should either make the film or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you should either, as the creators, you should either be like, this, we need to make this film.
Right.
Or you don't make it. With stuff like, rather than being like, I felt like it was all, will this pass? Will this be good enough for fans not to hate us? And it probably was. Speaking of which, like the Bo Peep character, I thought was quite contrived in this. I thought it was like, you know, because for me, Jessie was that sort of like completely autonomous woman, female character who did her own thing, who was interested in stuff that was traditionally manly. Like she had her own steed, and she rode, she fought, she was great, man. And it was like, and then it felt like they forgot about her. So she now stays in a caravan.
Right.
And they were like, we need an empowered female character because that's what all films have to have now. It's like, mm-hmm. You had one, mate. You were so good because you were ahead of the curve.
Right.
You were doing that in 2002 when everyone was like, let's get the guy cool and then he can have some hot chick that he bangs later. Like, no, you had a... Who was emotional as well? Who wasn't like, I had to... She was like sad about her loss.
Right, they had the whole... They had the whole song.
That song is heartbreaking,
It's a heartbreak.
Man.
It's beautiful.
And now what they've done with that character, they made her sit in a caravan. No one wants to sit in a caravan. What do you call them, trailers? No one wants to sit in a trailer.
RV.
It's not even a cool RV. It's a rubbish RV. She has to sit... No one wants to spend their time doing that. I don't want to watch people spend their time doing that.
Absolutely not.
And so they're like, oh, we can have Bo Peep as the empowered character. Bo Peep's cool anyway. She's fine, man. She was never like an idiot.
Right.
She was always smart. Like, why? Oh, let's change her dress to be like a pantsuit sort of thing.
Yeah,
whatever
let's
they call
give
it,
her
a jumpsuit.
Yeah, it's give her something cool.
Yeah,
she's
actually,
got.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, and it's like, oh, great. Another thing as well with toys, like they did with Star Wars. Let's make C-3PO's arm red. Means we can sell two toys: original Bo Peep and new Bo Peep. Great. Yep. Look how that worked out. Lucky again. Fortunate. That to me is just like, oh my god, just have Jessie in there again. Like, I don't know. Or just make Bo Peep still in her dress, but super cool. You know, it doesn't need to be like,
yeah.
See, look, I don't look like a woman anymore. But what? Like, I don't look a traditional female Bo Peep. Like, you can look like that and act however you want.
Contrived
for me.
You can see the puppet strings. You can see the strings of Disney. And that's the real, I mean, at the end of the day, that's the real downside is I remember, I think it was last week they announced that Disney, now that they have this new streaming service coming out, they've bought Fox, they're going to start doing remakes of old properties like Home Alone.
Oh, right. Okay.
For this, like, do Home Alone as a TV show.
Right.
Which just like, I saw that news and I was like, you got to be kidding me. We already live in this new age of Hollywood where the only thing that really has any clout is remakes and rehashes, and it makes a lot of money.
Mm.
And there, of course, because money is key and not necessarily the actual artistic integrity or the artistic value of a property anymore, they want just something that they can churn out and they know people are going to watch it for the sense of for the sake of nostalgia or for the sake of whatever they feel like they can attach themselves to. You know, of course, I remember when Toy Story 4 news came out, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to see Toy Story 4. I didn't want to see Monsters University. I heard they're going down the DreamWorks route already as it is, and the sequels are not as quality as they used to be.
Mm.
And then I saw the trailer and people were talking about like, oh, it's an existential crisis. And I was like, okay, this sounds interesting. I'll go see it. Reviews are good. I was like, yeah, perfect. Fun. But now that, I mean, you really pulled the curtain behind the wizard. We see the man behind the curtain now.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
If you want to enjoy the film, if you listen to this, you enjoy Toy Story 4, don't listen to my old haggard opinion. You can go enjoy that film.
I still think it's a good, and that's the thing. I do still think it is a 5-star film, but I can see some of the artifice that led into it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they have that. It says a lot about Pixar that they are able to still take a movie that's clearly like a money grab and still make it a very good movie.
I think they did put I think they did put a lot of work into it, which I expect less from Pixar working on a Toy Story film. But I feel like the work this time was misplaced. It was less like, what's the story we want to tell and how are we going to tell it? And it's more like, will this story appease fans enough?
Right.
Or will it be unique enough? Let's make sure that's the case. And they did that successfully. Same with, and I relate it so much because it's sort of similar franchise, similar or overarching umbrella company. Similar with The Force Awakens. That was clearly like a committee-driven story. Mm-hmm. It was like, they had the prequels. No one liked them. They were trying to do different stories. Let's do Star Wars 4 again.
Okay.
And change some elements. I think The Force Awakens is a great film, but I think that was there as a palate cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend pointed this out to me, and he said he called it before it even came out. He was like, they're going to do something that's going to have all the fanboys be like, this is Star Wars! And then they're going to start making their
right.
things again, which they did. I think The Force Awakens is good. But similarly with Toy Story 4, it felt like the committee being like, is this like, will we get away with this? Like, let's make sure we get away with this by doing this and this, and we'll make them do that, and we'll add this new character, and we'll get these...
Because there's an element of The Force Awakens where you're watching... I remember watching Force Awakens in the theater and just being like... Yeah, this feels like a Star Wars movie.
I went and watched it at midnight when it came out. So much fun. Loved it. A couple of people were in fancy dress. I mean, we're British. You're American, maybe. I think fancy dress and sort of that whole showing up.
Oh,
it's
you
more
show
big
up.
In America. In
the
British, we're a bit more sensible and awkward. but lo and behold, we had a couple of people dress up. One as an Imperial guard and the other one as an Ewok.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in. They got a round of applause. Someone from the back just shouted, "What a great way to spend your money!" And then everyone was like, "Let's get into this film." It was so good. Everyone was on board with what we were doing, and that was great. And it felt like, to me, Toy Story 4 echoed the sort of the production process of that. It was like, are we going to get away with this? What can we do to get people on board?
Right.
They started on the back foot, and they were like, "What can we do to get people on board?" Rather than being like, "You should either want to make the film or not."
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Star Wars, Force Awakens was like, "Let's kick a franchise, so we need to get people on board." Then we can make films we want to make.
Right. And you know what? And this is some news that I think is probably heartening to both of us who have some old person cynicism inside of us already, even at young ages. In May 2019, producer Mark Nielsen confirmed that Pixar will stop making sequels after Toy Story 4.
Wow.
In favor of focusing on original films at this time. On an episode of The Ellen DeGeneres Show, Tom Hanks claimed that the film would be the final film in the series. I spoke too soon. I didn't read far enough down this Wikipedia page. However, Nielsen did not rule out the possibility of a fifth film, stating, "Every film we make, we treat it like it's the first and last film we're ever going to make."
Great.
So you force yourself to make it hold up. And then they are going to do spinoffs on Disney Plus with Forky and Bo Peep. So we're going to get those little Toy Story adventures.
That Bo Peep thing annoys me so much because they're doing spinoff because it's like we want to do a spinoff about a strong female toy.
Yes.
And it's like, let's make one. Or let's remake one.
You already had one, Jesse. Man.
You've just thrown her to the side. She was so cool. Toy Story 2. She's riding on Donkey. Is his name Donkey? Is
he just that's now we're getting into DreamWorks territory. What's his name? I feel like it's
Flash
or Rusty. Something like that. Hold on. Let's just look up Toy Story 2 while we're at it.
Hello. But yeah, she's like riding, and that's so cool, man. And they've just gone, she can sort of hang out at the back.
Where's the guys? Bullseye.
Bullseye.
That's a good horse name.
Bullseye. That is great. Especially in Tom Hanks's Southern draw. Oh.
Bullseye.
Bullseye. Come on, Bullseye.
Oh, man. Well, hey, listen. I am very glad. This is a wonderful discussion of Toy Story 4 and corporatism and how much it hurts filmmaking.
Like, I feel like I'm about to say, like, anyway, subscribe to my new cult. Like, this. But fight the power, beat the man. But
I mean, this is the time to plug things. If you want to get some, if you people want to follow you,
if you want to follow me, I'm at Hate Toy Story Fortnite. I'm at
Down with Disney Corporate.
I mean, I still go see this film, man. I love them. But yeah, I'm sucked in. At Ali Woods Gigs, AliWoodsGigs on anything. So check me out on there. I've got comedy gigging all around the UK. Hopefully I can make it to America pretty soon.
I would love to see you out there.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to follow me and if you want to debate with me, then bring it, man. Let's have it. Let's have it out.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that. Lively discussion.
Because I always like hearing other people's opinions. That's why.
Especially on the internet.
Especially on the internet. Oh, boy. They're the most considered, polite opinions.
Of course. So researched and fun. You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram. JLightComedy.com for show dates. If you are in LA and you looking for something to do at the end of the month, I got something you should do. My album recording. Come to that. August 31st at the Pack Theater. Details are in the show notes. Click the link. All that fun stuff. And if you like the show, subscribe, tell a friend, and all that fun stuff too. Look at that.
Awesome, man.
This has been Blockbusting. This has been Ali Woods. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Jay. What a wonderful podcast you got here.
What a wonderful guest you are for a podcast.
Stop it.
This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.